Hello and you're very welcome to the first podcast of 2012 of Now You're Motoring. Today we're going to be skimming through the headlines and the news because we've got bigger issues at hand. It's the start of a new year. We're deciding on which cars to buy in each price bracket, and we'll be giving you all of our favourites and a couple of outsiders, some ones that you may not see coming down the line. But first, in the headlines, the EU have issued the government with an advisory change, or I don't know if it's going to be a mandatory change, that the VRT system, not as a whole, but...
is illegal.
It's a bit of a brainless system anyway. but when you import a used car with less than 3,000 kilometres...
Or younger than three months.
Yeah. You have to pay the VRT rate that a brand new car would attract.
Good old government.
This is a fantastic way of pulling down your pants for more money.
Yeah.
But they're going to change this. They're looking at changing this now. It's now being deemed illegal, and that you will pay the rate on a used value. Because they're saying, and the argument I'm going to paraphrase from the article that I read it from, is that somebody in the EU had said that this, that when you drive out the front door, the car is essentially a used car and it drops in value, which it does.
It does, yeah.
Will it make any impact?
No, I don't think it's going to make a whole lot of difference because, I mean, you're still going to pay the new car price or, you know, nearly new car price in the UK. You still have to pay the VRT. It's still not going to be as cheap as just buying the car here in Ireland unless you get the most spectacular deal on earth from the UK dealer. Then you might have some hope of changing, but it's not really good. It is a little win for the Irish motors, but VRT, I still hate VRT. I hate the whole idea behind VRT. I think it's a lot of crap.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have it. We shouldn't be paying it, and it should be deemed illegal. The whole thing should be.
Yeah, and also from my research here and kind of linking with a couple of people in the UK and looking at what they're doing over there, cars aren't cheap over in the UK. Very scarce. Certainly getting one with less mileage than 3,000 kilometres is going to be a tall order.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be hard. Who gets rid of a car after 3,000 kilometres, apart from a dealer and a demo car he might have lying around the place?
And really, is that dealer going to want to flog the demo car out of his own country? I mean, really and truly, what the ideal situation for him, because he's already understocked, is that he's going to sell the car to a customer, the customer's then going to give him money for servicing it, and he's going to bring it back in, trade it in, and he's going to sell it again. Yeah. So he's going to make money on it a couple of times.
Yes.
And that's the ideal situation for the dealer over in the UK is that he has a good saleable, you know, sought after car.
The fast advice, folks, is don't go looking for the deal.
I don't
think
so.
Try and do your deal here in the country. It's not going to be a big benefit to you to fly off to UK looking for cars that are less than 3 months old with less than 3,000 kilometres on. It's such an individual car. It's going to be one or two sales a year.
And actually, if you find one and you can import it,
ring me.
I don't think you'll bring it in any cheaper. I think you'll probably find one here. I think dealers are doing great deals this year anyway. And new car sales, that's the next topic really, is that new car sales don't look like they're flying this year either.
No. Oh, it's also a bit of a false start, alright. It's a bit low, but I think people are dipping the toe in the water. I'm not too sure. A lot of research. Maybe all the sales won't happen in the first 3 months like they're hoping it's going to happen. The dealers and distributors gear up so much for the first 3 months of the year because of the new registration plates. Maybe people aren't as concerned about the new registration plates.
It actually would suit the dealer an awful lot better if we didn't do all like 85% of our sales in the first 5 or 6 months, because it gives the dealer an awful lot more stock going out you know, throughout the rest of the year. And it's really, once you do 85% of your new car sales in the first 6 months, the rest of the year is all used cars. Now, if you haven't done enough new cars, you don't really have a lot of used cars. That's always been the complaint.
Yeah.
From a customer point of view, the start of the year is a great time to buy a used car as well, though. Used cars are flying this year.
Yes, they are flying. Used cars are going to have a healthy year, I think, this year.
Yeah, definitely. They're going to run scarce. So, I mean, you may have to pay a few more quid than you know, you
especially
have
for certain
first
marks. There are certain marks that are going to run out very quickly, I think.
Yeah. But I think, by and large, if you're buying in a used car, the next topic we have coming up
this is definitely the one for you. It's what I've been waiting to get on to this. It's
right,
like a competition.
We've decided, okay, let's break the cars into their brackets. We have cars under 5 grand, from 5 to 10, 10 to 15, 15 to 20, 20 to 30, we extended that bracket a little bit, and anything over 30 grand. I've made my list of cars that I'd buy. Bob has made his. We don't agree on any of them. Apart from one model, but we have them in two different price brackets for very good reasons, actually.
Yes.
First one we have is...
There are some rules. This has to be a hatchback or a family type car. It can't just be any old... Otherwise, my list would just be made up of sports cars.
Yeah,
two-seat sport cars and that sort of
stuff. So would mine.
It has to be a real list.
I try and find somewhere that you could fit an S2000 for under $5,000 and over $30,000. I put them on all of them. Every single one of them. First one we have is under $5,000. Bob, what did you go for?
An Alfa 156.
Terrible choice.
It is. I know it's going to break down and kill you. And, you know, it may not work some mornings and it'd be worthless when you're going to get rid of it. But you know what? It's an Alfa. And if you have a few quid sitting aside, less than $5,000, you get them for less, way less than $5,000, you're going to get a spirited drive. For the 10 minutes that it stays in one piece, it's going to be a brilliant 10 minutes.
As much as it pains me to say it, I think it's not a great choice for the money, but it's just such a good car.
Oh god,
it's just so cool.
It is good. It looks gorgeous. Start, stops and goes well when it goes, of course. Yeah.
And I think if you get a decent one that has a bit of service work done.
I know people with cars that for 10 years there's
never
a problem with them. It just depends on the car. They're very much of kind of a Friday car. The last car that was made in Italy on a Friday before they went home for the bank holiday weekend. So they're in a bit of a hurry. You know, if you get one of them cars, then you could have big trouble. But generally speaking, Alfa Romeo, you're never going to get, for that kind of money, you're not going to get a spirited drive from any other car.
No.
Your choice is what?
my choice.
Yes, a really spirited drive here.
My choice is on the opposite side of the spectrum. I went for a Nissan Almera, and you can all stop laughing now. Except for the people with a Nissan, I can just hear the people with a Nissan Almera fist pumping.
Yeah, cheering now it is there.
Somebody picked a Nissan Almera. It's the first time it's won
They're
anything.
They're a good car though. They're a solid, reliable thing. They'll keep
towards
going.
Towards the end of their run, they got a really nice spec.
Yes, it did.
It's what happens with any model. Before, when it comes to the end of its life, they just throw every single
extra
into it. Just get rid of it. And let's try and sell it because there's a new model coming out. So we need to make the old model look tasty enough that people will buy it. And the last of that Almera was actually a decent little car. You got a decent enough spec. You had aircon and, you know, probably cruise control on a couple of them and front fogs.
Not in a hurry anywhere. And as long as you're not, you know, into driving. I mean, a spirit of driving down a backwater.
I mean, if you're a cool person, maybe don't get an Almera.
It's a bit of a
reputation.
Comes with a bit of baggage, all right.
Yeah, we'll move on from Almera because actually, the more I look at
it, I won that one.
Yeah, I think we'll put that one. I don't think that was completely.
I think I sold my 156 better than you sold your Almera.
Although, in real terms, I think I could sell my Almera quicker than you could sell your 156.
Your Almera would probably go further than my Alfa, which may not make it out of the car park. But
we'll give you the one.
That's a bit of crack, though. I mean, for fun, Alfa 156 for reliability, something you actually need your family to drive around in every day, you're not going to go far wrong with an Almera.
No. Okay. $5,000 to $10,000?
Yeah.
What did you pick?
I hated this bracket. This is not a good bracket.
I don't know how you found something so... Well, you see, I picked the winner. I mean, whatever...
You know, you have.
It doesn't matter what you put up against this $5,000 to $10,000.
But go with yours first, then. Tell us about it.
Mazda 6, old model petrol. Not diesel.
Oh,
petrol.
God, no, not diesel.
Don't... Well... The diesel comes with a couple of niggles.
Yeah, small niggles. Small niggles. It may not start.
The petrol is just a phenomenal car. It's just
a great car.
$5,000 to $10,000 will actually buy you a really high up the year one as well. You could get a 07.
You go old model,
06 last 06 yeah. 07
stick
last
to the petrol.
Old
it's a good drive, really solid car.
Yeah,
it's massive as well. The Mazda 6 are huge,
bigger than 5 series.
Yes, they are. Yeah,
bigger than 5 series on the inside for
legroom as well.
Yeah, more legroom
in a Mazda 6 than a 5 series.
And if you can get one in high in the spec, something like a Touring Sport or a Touring Sport 2, they change the comfort to become the Touring. So you have to watch out for this one. They changed comfort to touring and they changed touring to executive.
Yeah.
So if you're buying a touring, you may actually be buying the old comfort.
Yes.
Just watch out
for
that.
Right, yeah.
And the telltale signs are probably hubcaps and bland interior. But the ones with leather steering wheel and the TS2 comes with like full Bose surround sound and a sunroof and cruise control, multifunction steering wheel, leather, like a fabulous car for the money. For $5,000 to $10,000, and get the petrol, like we said. And if you can, get the 2-litre petrol. I know it's going
to
cost you a little bit more, but it's a
brilliant engine, really smooth.
And actually quite frugal.
Yes, it is, yeah.
It's not the worst thing on petrol.
Plenty of horsepower, plenty of cruising ability in it as well.
Yeah.
As long as you're not zooming up and down waterways every single day, the petrol one will suit you down to the ground.
Yeah, the petrol one's fine. And I mean, if you're the kind of person like me who does kind of... old money mileage of kind of 15 to 20,000 miles, the petrol's still fine
petrol
for you.
Fine, yeah. Because petrol and diesel, don't forget, petrol and diesel at the pumps is about the same price.
That's right.
So sometimes petrol is more expensive, sometimes diesel is more expensive, depends where you are. But yeah, generally speaking, it's about the same price. So you're going to pay the same price at the pumps anyway.
Yeah. And bringing up the rear in the 5 to 10 bracket,
it's an Audi A3.
Yeah, not see, a bad choice, though.
Why I thought of this, 5 to 10 is where young people are trying to get into cars.
Okay,
young
yeah.
individuals, no family maybe, or just one child, and are looking to get into a car. Mm-hmm. And an Audi A3 gives them, if you're getting a 5-door, okay, so a 3-door is not going to work for family car, there's not much access into the rear of the car, but the 5-door one has tons of space.
Yeah.
They're like hen's teeth, they're reliable as an old grandfather clock, and you have a well solidly built car. But now watch for spec. Debate
yes.
on the spec, because Audis have a lot of options on them, especially at that year. A lot of people bought Bogo standard spec,
yes.
and there's not much in them, right?
No.
You're looking to get electric windows in it.
Yeah.
You mightn't even get air conditioning.
And
so
you're talking in that spec, you're talking attraction. The one you really want is ambition.
Ambition is the one you need to go for.
Yeah. And really, an attraction and ambition, an ambition doesn't make a whole lot more over an attraction.
No,
so you're better off looking
it.
For it. Yeah,
yeah.
It's not a lot in it. And you're looking for the 5 to 10 grand bracket. A 0.7 will set you back around 9.5 to 10
yeah.
grand. So, I mean, you're pushing the limit there. You could get a 0.6 for kind of around the 8 grand mark, maybe a little less.
If you got a 0.6 in petrol, you're going to get a car that'll keep going forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Forever. It'll
yeah.
never stop for you,
yeah.
and it'll never give you any trouble either. If you're going to go diesel, you'll have to get, it'll be a different, it'll be 1.9 TDI, and it'll be very good, but it will be, it'll be very frugal. The A3 is such a small, it's a small car for a big engine,
yeah.
and it just keeps going forever.
Yeah, and typically when you're in that kind of a bracket, if you're looking at an 0.7 petrol, an easy way to work out how much you should be spending on a diesel is an 07 petrol is kind of the same price as an 06 diesel. It's kind of
correct,
a year older will get you the diesel.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at kind of spending 9 grand-ish on an 07 petrol, you'll probably buy an 06 diesel for around the same
yeah.
money.
But good solid car
yeah,
for
no,
a new
I think,
person.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad choice. And actually it's where a lot of people are at the moment.
Smaller
with that 5
hatches.
To 10 grand
yeah.
And in the smaller hatch. So
that's
I mean,
the most debated and toughest part of the market as well, as the 5 yeah. to 10 grand market, because that's where everyone, if they're changing their cars, they're all looking at 5
yeah,
to 10
absolutely.
Grand sort of.
One all,
yeah, we've got a one out in the Mazda 6 to win.
And
it
actually
there.
you can decide yourselves when you're listening to this, although I don't think there's any dispute in between.
Sure, you'll have your own opinions as well.
Yeah,
we
A3 drivers out there, oh no, my A3 is worth far more than the Mazda 6.
Of course it's an Audi, it's
yeah.
worth millions.
Okay.
No.
A 10 to 15 grand bracket.
This is tight. Oh, this
and
is
actually
close.
Chose two completely different
yep.
segments. What did you go for?
I want a Saab 9-3.
Good choice.
Because at that time you're looking to get a Vector one, which
yeah.
would be the good one to get. And you might even get the full automatic box as well, which is dead mm-hmm. smooth. And you have that night button on the dashboard, which is deadly. Okay,
you
it's
do.
Like a fighter pilot button. You know, you press the thing, turns off all the lights around the dash. Very cool car. You find a lot of doctors and architects and those kind of individuals were buying them at that time. They
yeah.
shifted on to BMW or Mercedes or mm-hmm. Audi or someone and left the kind of Saab brand. And you got this really well serviced, really well looked after. Sometimes they're low mileage. If you get the 1.9 TDDI or something it's called, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a weird name on it. But if you get one of them, it's really economical.
Yeah, and they're no slouch either.
No,
anybody who's owned
car.
A Saab, either petrol or diesel, will tell you that the acceleration in second or third gear
they're brilliant.
Is just
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah.
It's beautiful,
of torque,
loads
yeah.
of torque. You're looking at kind of 0.9, I suppose, for that money. We're talking, 10 to 15 grand.
10
so you're
15,
looking
yeah.
maybe 0.8, 0.9, maybe creep into a 0.9 in a linear sport, maybe not the Vector, maybe linear sport, manual.
Vectors are hard to come by.
Vectors
anyway.
Are hard to come
by. A lot
of people
didn't buy them.
We won't go into the details of the downfall of Saab.
For people
out there who are actually scared and running a mile from Saab, I don't think there's a need to. I mean,
don't panic. They'll be around for a while yet. I think.
They're gone, but
yeah,
their
but
people are looking. But they have to.
The employees,
they have to,
the factory, the parts. They're
yeah,
awesome.
Parts yeah. have to be there for something like 10 years afterwards.
Yeah, they do.
So
yeah.
I mean, there's no real issue if you're thinking.
Same
oh,
thing
God,
happened
I won't
to Rover years
it.
Ago, and you're still
yeah.
seeing Rovers trading regularly on used car markets
yeah.
and plenty of parts. It would be the same for Saab.
Not a big issue. It wouldn't put me off buying it if I had 13 or 14 grand to spend on a diesel. I could do an awful lot.
I wouldn't
worse
run out
buying.
And buy a brand new one, but I'd certainly no problem buying a used one. Yeah, no problems at all. Your choice.
I went for the Octavia.
That's a good choice, though.
It is, but the only thing that's kind of, I picked it reluctantly, but The only thing that's putting me off on the Octavia is its old model at that money.
Yeah, yeah. There's a new, there's a fresher model around. Yeah,
fresher model. Old. When I say old model, old shape, old engine, 1.9. Yeah. They're now on 1.6. Much nicer car than the 1.6. Actually feature in a presentation report that I did. Actually ahead of the Golf in residual values for 1 year olds.
Yeah.
But not a bad car. Again, I'd be buying either petrol or diesel. Doesn't really bother me.
Wouldn't bother me either.
But for the money that we were looking at spending at that kind of 10 to 15 grand, you're looking at buying a 0.9 diesel.
Yeah.
So maybe a, you know, a, would you buy a 10 petrol, possibly, in an ambient?
Depends.
You would indeed.
Yeah, I would. I would. I wouldn't have a problem. I don't mind. Whatever gives me the performance and the kind of responsiveness I want from the cars, the one I go after, rather than thinking about being tax band A versus tax band B.
Sure.
I'd rather be in B and in a car I'm happy in than A in a car
actually,
that I hate.
And actually, if you can't find the 1.2 TSI, because they did release that in 2010, get that 1.2 TSI ambient. I mean, I think it was 20-odd grand new.
Yeah.
It's going to be... has to be back under the 15 grand at this stage, maybe 13
Tons
grand.
Tons of kit in Skodas of that year as well. They tend to fire everything kitchen sink.
Yeah, they do,
them,
yeah.
You know, to make sure you've got everything you want and it's at the price you like.
And what Skoda drivers love to point out
that
is the fact
look in their face,
that it's a Volkswagen.
It is, yeah. It is.
Oh, but sure, it's just, I just bought a Passat or a Golf. Well, it's really a Golf with a boot.
It is,
but
It's
kind of, they're not short about telling you that they've just bought it themselves a Volkswagen
say
with a Skoda badge.
The same thing. Say it, Leon's a Golf or the Octavia's a Golf when it comes from Skoda. It's always something about being part of the VW group. But they are solid, reliable things.
Yep.
You've seen many of them as taxis around the country. There's the, you know, humongous mileage going on to them. And they don't have a problem with any of that. They're wear and tear pretty good too.
I'd be willing to swap my Octavia for the 9.3. Would you be willing to swap the 9.3 for
no,
the Octavia?
No, I would not. I'd still want the 9.3, unfortunately. I have a thing about the Saab of that year. It was the nicest looking one they made. They made a proper pretty.
I think the interior is a little bit
it's a bit
bland.
Old-fashioned,
it's a bit meh, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You could kind of take or leave the interior, but the just driving experience of one, they handle and go really well. You got that night button as well, which makes you feel like a fighter pilot at night time. It turns everything off, but the speedo, it was just smart idea.
Okay.
Not that Saab actually make airplanes that don't. They used to once upon a time. They don't do it anymore.
15 to 20 grand.
Yeah, go on then. You start yours. Yours is good, actually.
Actually, I went way out of left field on this one.
Yeah.
Jag X-Type diesel. Jag X-Type diesel. What? I mean, it's a lot of car for the money.
Fabulous car.
understated.
Yeah.
Nicely spec'd.
Bit small in the cabin.
Little. That's the only issue I kind of have.
Jags
with it.
Tend to be though. Jags tend to be kind of full of cabin and very little room for people.
Yeah,
they all have it,
but it's kind of something I don't really care about.
No, that's it's a great. Doesn't detract from the car, or something.
Just in that car. I think if it was another car, it might annoy me. And actually, I think the further I go up the price bracket, that would start to annoy
that
me.
Would
I think if I was spending
then,
over 20 grand or over 30 grand, certainly that would kind of. But for kind of that 15 to 20 grand, 18 grand for a Jag 2 liter diesel luxury.
And you always have that smug look in your face. You say, "I drive a Jag."
Yeah. You know,
you don't need to say X, J, or X type, or just say Jag.
You don't pass a lot of them on the road.
No, they're rare enough. Yeah, rare enough because Jag didn't sell very well here. Good few imports here of that Jaguar X type, but it didn't particularly take off too well here. I don't know. I'm not too sure why. Maybe the pricing was wrong on them or something. But it's just
they were in the market that was just so hotly contested.
Yeah,
how do you break into a market where you have something like a C-Class 3 Series, Accord, and A4, all chomping at the bit trying to get their market share? And I mean, I've thrown the Accord in there and the A4, and really and truly, the A4 and the Accord have only kind of come of age recently.
You
know, so it's and the Jag got long in the tooth. They really didn't change
and
that
and they kind of ignored it as well. And there's a funny chassis. The original one was based on a Vectra, wasn't it?
Really?
Yeah, I think the original chassis came out of Opel GM Motors for the X-Type. It was just basically a Vectra with a Jag exterior. But
maybe I'll change my...
The current one is... the more recent one is his own, Jaguar's own version.
Well, I mean...
Much better.
And like you said, I wasn't doing it for the whole image of I own a Jag. Because unfortunately what happens is when someone says, I own a Jag, and they say, oh, really? What Jag? And you go...
Next time.
It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of the. It's not really.
I own a Bentley, a fake one, but a Bentley.
It doesn't really give you kind of bragging rights.
No.
But an understated car, good car for somebody. I mean, again, you're looking for
good
15,
engines.
20 grand.
Good engines. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't really beat it. Your choice, I just...
You know this is going to be the right choice to make.
It
but
is.
The Mazda 6, the new shape one with the 2.2-litre diesel engine, preferably. Mm-hmm. It'll be at the top end of your budget, but you are going to wind up with a car that you could happily die in. You just drive around forever and be happy in it, in the back, in the front, in the boot, whatever way it is. They're a very, very good car. Very underrated in this country. We don't rate Mazda properly here at all.
Not at all.
The sales should reflect up there where Ford is and Toyota is for what they do in a car. And that Mazda 6 is absolutely second to none.
Yeah.
I'd rate it up there alongside of the BMWs and Audis of their time.
I've no counter argument to the Mazda 6 2.2 diesel. It's a fabulous car.
It
looks great.
It looks deadly. It looks youthful. Looks much more youthful than some of the other stuff that's compared.
One thing I will point out, and it goes for both Mazda 6s, has to be the liftback. Has to be the 5-door hatch.
Oh, God,
kind
don't
of
get
version.
A saloon.
Don't get the saloon.
No, don't get a saloon. It'd be harder to sell a saloon as well. The lift one is much better.
The back
better.
On it looks like, you know, Kim Kardashian's ass. It's kind of it comes out a little bit too far.
It does,
you know.
It does.
And it's bulky, and like Kim Kardashian's ass, it kind of, you don't mind, but it just it's a bit big.
I wouldn't tap that. No, but yeah, it is a little bit big. It's too big. Don't.
Are we talking about I don't know what are we talking about
the
anymore.
The car now or the sorry. Well, getting back to the Mazda 6, yes, liftback version of it. Good, decent family car. Good car for going massive mileage because it's 2.2. You have no problem with any of that sort of stuff. It'll be reliable
and good features. I mean, the interior specification is just phenomenal.
You might be lucky and catch leather at that price.
You could even, you could get someone with an executive SE. I don't know if you quite squeeze it at that 20 grand mark, but you might.
Yeah, you might just be lucky enough to come across that right car at the right price. But definitely, the Mazda 6 is the one I'd pick from the two. I love the Jag, though. I do like that Jag. I do like that as a choice as well. But I just think more sensible price because this is getting serious money now.
Yeah,
we're getting kind of serious cash.
Well, the next one, I think, when it comes to serious money, 20 to 30 grand.
Two of the most unusual choices.
Two really unusual choices.
Really weird choices. But
what did you go for?
I went Subaru Forester.
Yeah, I think it's a good choice.
It was good at that price. I don't know about brand new, whether I'd go and spend the real cash, but at that price, Subaru Forester, you're going to get proper four-wheel drive, you're going to get the diesel engines. Really good interior in them Subarus. It's not terribly pretty to look at the interior, but they make them out of mahogany. It's really well put together inside. And it will go anywhere. I mean, you climb a mountain in it.
Yeah, I think the one thing about Subarus is anybody who buys a Subaru tends to continue buying Subarus.
Correct, you stay with them, yeah. You buy an Impreza, then you go to Forester as well.
You don't tend to hear people bad-mouthing their Subaru. And you equally... I can't imagine, but I'm sure... Or I can't imagine that... I'm sure... You know, Subaru workshops up and down the country, and there aren't a huge amount of them. There's not a huge dealer network for them. They must be quite quiet with doing non-routine service work, or only routine service work. I'm tripping up on my words. Don't even know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You take your Subaru in, and it gets a service.
It's not there very often.
What else does it get?
I know.
What else does a Subaru need?
Yeah, because I've
never
heard
of it.
They don't stop. Even the big STIs, the petrol Imprezas. No problem at all with them. The servicing is expensive and must be done fairly regularly, but at the same time, they don't be in between services with problems with.
No, and certainly that new Boxer diesel's a lovely engine.
It sounds funny, but it does go and look very well. The only trouble I have is with the Boxer one is that the rev range is very short in first and second gear. When you're in first, you're kind of out of puff at like 10 miles an hour.
Their petrols are a bit like that as well,
until you reach third, and then it all comes to life and you're barreling up the road.
But that, I think that Forester is a good choice. The only issue I have with the Subaru Forester is their constant four-wheel drive.
Correct. So not very economical.
Not the most economical diesel.
They're not. And if someone put winter tires on it, you may forget about it. You'd be in and out of petrol stations every 5 minutes.
And there's probably a Subaru dealer saying, oh, well, we get great mileage. I mean, you have to look at it in context to its other competitors.
Yeah.
I mean, a constant four-wheel drive, it's quite a big lump of a car. I wouldn't like to be clocking up massive mileage. Not that it isn't capable of doing massive mileage, but I wouldn't like to be clocking it up on it.
Yeah, you could probably drive around the world in the car, but it will cost you a bloody small fortune to keep it going on the road with diesel. But That said, there's still such a solid car. If you're not going to be doing massive mileage, you will have no trouble with it for 10 or 15 years. No. You know, no hassle. That'll be a classic. That'll be a future classic.
Yeah, you always see old Subarus on the road, don't you?
You do,
They tend to last.
They could be falling asunder in the exterior, but the engine's still going. Everything's still happening. They're still passing NCTs and all batting an eyelid. It's just the way they are.
My choice, 20 to 30 grand.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
New shape Honda Accord.
Very unusual choice, but a good choice.
Can't go wrong with a Honda Accord.
You could never go wrong with a Honda to begin with. They don't have any problems engine-wise.
That new Accord, and again, a car that comes heavily laden with decent specifications.
You'd be pressing buttons for the rest of your life, literally, because there are millions of buttons on the dashboard.
I mean, I think Honda Accord owners have a national button pressing World Cup.
Yeah, you should see. If you've never experienced the interior of a Honda Accord, have a look, because there's a button for every individual.
You'll have a sore index finger by the end of it.
There's no multifunction buttons. Every button has one purpose, and that's all it does in life. It's just one purpose. So you're looking at a thing, it looks like someone took a shotgun, big one, and just went bang!
And shot left buttons everywhere.
Yeah, the buttons just landed.
Actually, do you know what? It looks as though almost it predates the BMW iDrive system, because those buttons have always been in it, but it's kind of like iDrive's worst nightmare.
It is, yeah.
It's kind of like
if you took out the spinny wheel and just put in a button for everything.
Everywhere, you know. But I think a 2.2 diesel
serious car,
what
really
a car for the money. And people who bought Accords always bought them in, I don't know whether it was Honda doing it or it was the buyers, they always bought them in flattering colours.
They did, yeah.
They always come in, you don't get green in a Honda Accord.
No, God, no. No. Generally, black is the one to go for, or you might have a nice silver one if you come across a silver one. I know they're kind of two middle of the road colours, but they're nice colours.
They are. They have a do nice deep purple.
I saw that one once or twice,
because
I have a Honda dealer near my house, actually, and he sells quite a few of them, Accords, up and down. So I get to see a lot of Hondas around the town, but I test drove a few of those Accords down there at that time. Now, I haven't test driven the new Honda stuff that's out, but the ones that were down there at that time, the only gripe I have is the amount of buttons on it. Every single other factor in the car was fantastic.
I was arguing for the buttons. You're against the buttons.
No, there's too many buttons.
All right, not at all. The more buttons, the merrier.
You just stare at the bloody. You're driving along the road at 120 kilometers an hour, looking for the button for the bloody air conditioning.
See, they put them in such a nice position that they've tailored it to the intuition of the driver, knowing where the button. You know, it's.
Don't forget, this man here buys Honda S2000s. He knows a Honda.
The buttons
and Honda Civics.
The distance from elbow to radio control button on the steering wheel is kind of. You don't have to. You know the way on some cars. Deviating here, but you know the way on some multifunction steering wheels, you have to kind of angle your hand a certain way
to get.
You're holding it. You can't just flick it with your thumb.
Yeah.
You know, like the Mazda 6, you can flick with your thumb.
Correct.
You know, BMWs, you can flick with your thumb. But on some of them, you kind of have to, and I find it on a Peugeot, you have that lever underneath the steering wheel. And you have
Renaults,
you kind of nearly have to hug yourself
and
then start fiddling with the buttons.
Yeah.
That's not me. No, in your face, on right in front of your eyes, you can't miss it.
Give me a big red button.
Last one on the list, last bracket.
Oh, this is the expensive
car. This is the expensive one. I've lost track of, I think you're probably winning, but...
Well, I don't know, I wasn't paying attention.
I don't think we can.
We'll take that as a victory for me.
I think they're all. No, wait, I'm taking the Honda Accord. This one is. I went for 520 diesel, over 30 grand bracket.
Yeah, I know.
It's just so bloody popular. And it's just. And I'm kind of loath to pick it because it's so popular. And if you look at all of my other choices, they're not the run of the mill, are they?
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
An Almera, a Mazda 6, an Octavia, an X type Jag. An Accord, and then I've gone safe for the 520.
Well, you're in serious money now. Yeah. I mean, this isn't funny money anymore. You're talking 40 to 50 grand here for a decent spec 520. And so you kind of have to, in a way, play safe with the market, because you need to know, well, you have to have an idea how much this car is going to be worth when you eventually get rid of it as well. So there's no point in going for something really off the wall that you'll never be able to get rid of,
and
unless you're willing to hold on to it.
And they're, you know, they're not out there in big numbers for no reason. They're a very, very good car.
They are. Yeah.
2 litre diesel. The one thing that does kind of annoy me is that it's a 2 litre diesel. I would like a 2.2.
2.2, I'd like. I'd prefer that, 2.5.
Or a higher performing engine. But I mean, I'm getting really niggly there. I mean, it's more than I'll ever use it for anyway. I don't mind a 2 litre diesel. SE automatic.
to be automatic. God almighty, don't buy a manual.
Does that not go without saying?
Sometimes some people need to be reminded. I've seen 520s, current 520s in manual, and you want to beat the face off people because you can't buy an executive car in the hope of selling it on. This is not for your own peace of mind. This is just for the hope of selling it on. If you buy it in manual, no one's going to want it. Okay? Executive cars need an automatic.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. An SE automatic was kind of the entry level.
But you do get a few fair bits of stuff.
M-Sports, you do get... Oh, I mean, you get leather, stuff, Bluetooth, yeah. I think rear parking sensors. Yeah. I mean, it's not as if you're going to be kind of sitting in the what's colloquially termed poverty spec.
Poverty spec. Or paddy spec.
Definitely not. Lovely car. M-Sport would be my choice.
Nice top end there, but just... But yeah, not top end, but you're moving on with the kit on the outside.
Absolutely.
There's some bits on the inside as well.
And they released a couple of extra, edition SEs and stuff like that, and business editions.
I like the wheels on the M-Sport. I love the M-wheels.
Yeah, lovely. The split spoke, or split multi-spokes.
Split down the centre thing. That's really, really nice.
Tough car to beat, so what did you choose?
Well, I had to go safe as well. I wanted to be safe, so I had to go down the road of the Audi A6.
Yeah. You're talking executive, you're talking German cars, aren't you?
It has
really
to be a German in this kind of bracket for me. A safe bet in the future, you're going to be talking about a serious, nice car. Obviously, again, automatic, 2-litre diesel, only came out in automatic a few years after the Audi A6 released in 2-litre diesel. The first 2-litre diesel A6 was manual only. Mm-hmm. Now you can get to an automatic. I'd love a Quattro one, but I don't know if the budget is stretched to that. But if you can...
Yeah, we're
Quattro,
saying 30 plus, but we're obviously not saying up to 100 grand. Yeah, we're kind of saying around a 30-ish mark.
30-odd mark. 30 to 50 mark, say. Somewhere around there. But if I was going to spend that kind of money, I'd want a Quattro 2-litre. If I can't get that, I'd get the 3-litre. Sorry. I know, it's really the 3-litre diesel.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. I've got a 3-litre Quattro route. I love it. Brilliant car. Comes with a big butch exterior on it. It's really, properly different. It's very recent as well. It's a bit younger than the 520.
Yeah, well, I'd have to jump the 520 into a 530
if you're going 530,
I could go 525, but I'd want the extra brake horsepower that the 530 gives
me.
You want to have to go 5
direct competitor then. If you're going to go that sort of route, you are talking getting serious money here, right? But you are buying either car, very serious car. These are real deal cars. Yeah. These are going to have plenty of stuff on them, plenty of options. The 530 is still only rear-wheel drive. The Audi A6 in 3-litre is Quattro, so it's four-wheel drive.
That's the only thing that I'd be concerned about, is my rear-wheel drive.
Yeah. That would be the only thing that divides them, too. They're so close to one another after that.
Yeah.
The A6, marginally bigger boot. And marginally, I'm talking a couple of hundred euro cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think you're talking brand new for an SE automatic 5 series 520 diesel. You're in and around 45 grand out of the crate with kind of nothing really on it.
Yeah, no
really,
options,
what BMW dealers tend to say is that the customers usually throw on a few grand's worth of extras. So,
Most will.
And the Audi is the exact same, isn't it?
I mean, about the same price. I think it's supposed to be about 200-250 quid cheaper.
Really? Okay.
That's again out of the box, but you know yourself, you're going to add some options to it. You probably have to put Bluetooth on it. You will have to put there'll be a few options.
Yeah, you're talking 46 grand which is the recommended retail price. But I mean, you're going to have to add on metallic delivery paint and everything. But around 46 grand for a 2-litre diesel SE M-tronic. And it's in band B, so you're paying 132 euros
cheap money.
177 brake,
it's enough.
Isn't it?
Just,
and that's and I think that's,
I'd love more horsepower in those
cars.
If you're going to buy a big executive car, you need to kind of you don't have to go mad, you don't need a V8 around, but you do need somewhere up around 210 220 mark in horsepower. It'd be lovely cruiser as well.
And I'm more of a torque man than a horsepower man anyway.
Me too. I prefer all that big newton meters of torque, preferably.
I think it's more real world.
It is,
That brake horsepower you achieve in third gear at 7,000 revs.
That's
important
part,
with a downwind and a kind of, you're kind of there's too many caveats here. I don't bloody care. Does it pull the face off me when I want to overtake a car?
That's exactly what you need is torque in those kind of cars. It's the impressive part of those kind of cars. Well, when you're out for a spin and you're zooming up along a road, if you want to impress someone, it's torque that impresses them. Mm-hmm. That's the most, not horsepower. It has nothing at all to do with horsepower. If you had high torque in a small engine, it's great fun.
Yeah.
High torque in a Fiat 500 are
bad. Yes, great.
That's got high torque, right? Tons of torque. and everyone gets excited by it when you're driving it. It's not going very fast. It's just got a lot of torque. It's brilliant.
Last question. I'm going to throw this one at you.
Go on. This is unrehearsed.
This is the unscripted version.
Yeah.
If you had to have a car that was going to... You were going cruising to pick up some girls.
It's long beyond my time.
Well, I'm not saying it's in my time either, but, you know, if you had to... A chick magnet car.
Money no object?
Or money within reasonable. But you didn't care about road tax, or you didn't care about petrol, or you didn't care. You wanted to be flashy.
Two ends of the scale then. A Citroen DS3 Racing.
No way.
Yes, because
I know you really like
every
that.
Country, every girl on earth will gravitate to you just to see the car.
Yeah, but what kind of girl?
It doesn't matter. They'll all come. They'll be old and young and whatever. It doesn't really matter.
It looks a bit like an Asbo, doesn't it?
It looks like a Nike shoe that somebody's coloured in with a marker. But it's brilliant. I mean, it's brilliant. And it's good fun to drive as well. Small engine.
Don't get me wrong. A fabulous little sports car. A great little car. But I just think...
It's off the wall choice, and I like that.
You'd be attracting the kind of, your car's deadly.
Oh, you do. You get it at the traffic lights as well. That's your car. Yeah. Where do you live?
Yeah.
You know, you get a lot of that, right? But at the same time, it's that kind of... If you're going to go down the route of a mental-looking, sporty type hatchback...
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
You might as well go in with both feet as going in with something that's a bit subtle.
You never do things by half, do you?
Or a sledgehammer in the back seat or something. The other choice I would have is something a bit more sedate, is a Nissan 370Z, preferably convertible if you're going to go cruising down the beaches.
I definitely wouldn't go for that.
No, okay.
I know
what you would go for, a Honda S2000. No.
Well, no, I'm going to leave the S2000 aside for this one. I am partial to this, to Honda sports cars. I do like them. I like that they're just kind of tinny. And they just sound like a bag of spanners.
Yeah, but they work all the time.
They're just great.
They never stop.
No. If I was going sports car, it was something I mentioned to you earlier.
Go on.
S5, 4.2.
Good point. Yes, yes, yes.
0.8, around 30-odd grand.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm walking. I know what the kind of woman it would attract. If you're thinking about attracting women, you'd have executives or something like that. You know, maybe not what you're after on a Saturday night, but you know.
Actually, you might end up having to pay more. Oh, no, wait, we're going off track.
No, completely wrong way.
You know what I mean? It's that kind of. I think even guys would kind of fancy it in that. They're kind of there. Like it's that cool. It's that nice.
It is. Yeah. Anything with an S from Audi will catch fast attention. You have an S3, S4, S5, S6, S8.
Or S4. If they put an R before,
any
it's
of
even
those
better.
Things will always attract male attention very quickly. Any man who's
but the women love them because and the thing about it is, girls know their Audis. They like and girls have moved on from BMW to Audi. Audis now are the kind of the if a guy
they're the safe and stable type with a good job and they're doing well for themselves. And depending on how high the number is, how high they are in their place of employment. Okay, so if it's an S3, you know he's a young, sporty individual.
Yeah, exactly.
S4 is a bit more executive. Yeah. And an S5 then puts you right in the middle. So you're like middle management or you're on the way up, you know. If you can find someone in an S8, he's probably a criminal. But besides that,
he's probably the managing director.
He could be a politician.
Oh, well, anyway. Well, criminal politicians are kind of the same thing, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Look, that's all we have time for today. We actually ran way over time, but I hope you enjoyed the show. We're
going to
be back with our next podcast, so keep an eye out for it. As always, actually, we haven't been getting a lot of mails except for people saying who wanted to see us in an S5.
She wants some pictures with S5s involved.
And something about growth pills.
Did you get those? I got that one.
We're getting rap star promo. I'm going to have to get. I don't know. I haven't rapped for a long time. So, I mean.
We were rapping.
Yeah. Right. So, if you want to send us a mail, we're at motoringnow@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter, and we are at NowYourMotoring. Or you can just. Tweet us on that, or you can tweet us individually at The Next Gear or at 80 Timo, and we'll see you for the next podcast.